Okay, we are recording.
Okay. So good evening, folks. It is January 20. We're at a few minutes past 6, and I call to order this monthly meeting of the National Airport Authority Board of Directors. Could we have a roll call, please?
Sure. Chairman Woods.
Present.
Vice Chairman Law.
Present.
Secretary Duquette.
Present.
Treasurer Heath.
Here.
Director Holland.
Present.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you. So next up is public input. If anybody has any questions or issues pertaining to the agenda, this is the time for that public input. Okay.
Everybody see my screen?
Yes.
Okay,
public input going once, going twice. Okay, public input is done. Dave, we can only see a fraction of your screen now.
Oh, okay. Let me do this.
There we go.
There we go.
Okay.
Okay, so next up, next up is officer elections. So I think last year we had a nomination where someone proposed, it's like, all four officer roles all at once, for an up-down vote.
So that would have been me, Chairman Woods. And if you you don't mind, I'd like to reprise that role.
Please go ahead.
So before making the formal motion, I just kind of wanted to just put out a couple of my thoughts. I think the National Airport Authority Board is uniquely configured right now with individuals that have proven track records of skill sets that are valuable and work well in their roles. I won't get, too flowery here, but I think that, Chairman Woods has done an outstanding job as our chairman. He has clearly a passion for the role, puts a lot of work and effort into it. He's had great success, has the temperament, quite honestly, to deal with some things that I don't know how he does sometimes. Our treasurer, Heath, is he's a pro. He's a professional. He that's all you got to say. He's better than all of us at that role. I can't think of anything anyone better to fulfill that role. Those two individuals specifically, Vice Chairman Law, I know you're, as we've seen with the presidential election today, vice chairmen's and vice presidents go to funerals and show up when the chairman of the president isn't around. So, not to take anything away from you from that perspective, but, it's a role that is needed and necessary. And I think, probably given, your schedule and other commitments, it probably fits in well, with your, other duties. Myself as secretary, I'd be more than happy to relinquish that, Jessica. And if you'd like to take that role, I'd be more than happy to give that up and say, hey, I've done this for a little while. If, you want to take a more active role in more of the officer positions, great. That's my take. So I guess my formal nomination would be to maintain the roles as currently for the next year. And if, Jessica would like to take over the role of secretary, then I'd be more than happy to nominate, conclude that in the nomination or the motion or whatever we want to call it.
Okay. Jess, what do you think? Do you want to take the position of secretary or leave that in Joe's hands?
I'm trying to decide if I'm being voluntold here.
No, trust me, I'm not trying to pawn it off. My last year's statement, I think is, or 2 years ago, I think I said I'll remain in the rear with the gear for another year. I'm just happy to be on the board and contribute where I can. Personally, my work schedule, just doesn't, jive with a lot of activity, unfortunately. So as much as I'd like to take a more active role, secretary works fine. It's not a huge duty load. But again, I'm not looking to hog it either. So I'd be more than happy if you'd like to take that role. If it works with your schedule and time, by all means, if you're happy doing what you're doing the way you're doing it, I'll maintain that role. If everybody wants to do that, it's really just a up in the air kind of thing. Jump ball.
Are we voting on this tonight?
Yep.
Yes.
Yes.
So officer elections occur during the January meeting.
But no pressure, Jess.
Okay. I'm happy to take the secretary role. That's fine with me. I'd love to just get some guidance on what all your duties are, and maybe just have you.
Yeah,
most
of it is taking the non-public minutes and just recording those. Susan does all the other work for the public minutes. She gets them all pulled together, and then you just sign them. The previous secretary we had, Bob was much more, I think he had a lot more time. He was more active, and he would sort of collate and do all the work with the notifications and things that would come to the attention of the airport, you know, letters and communications. Susan's kind of done that as part of her role and brought that to everybody's attention. So at least in my experience in the last year, it's not been a very onerous workload.
So yeah, I mean, Joe, I'd be happy to take the secretary. If you want to swap over and take just the director position, that's fine with me. I'm happy. Yeah, I would be happy.
Yep. Okay, great. So that would be the formal nomination then, is that Chairman Woods remains Chairman Woods, Vice Chairman Law remains Vice Chairman Law, Treasurer Heath remains Treasurer Heath, Secretary Duquette goes to good old director status, and Jessica becomes the secretary.
I'll make a motion to accept that slate.
I'll second that.
Okay. Any further discussion on the motion of the 2021 officers? Okay, it sounds like we're ready to vote on this. So all those in favor of the motion to, you know, for the 2021 officers, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, that motion carries. So, you know, thank you for volunteering to be our secretary for this year, Jess. And Joe, thank you for being our secretary, you know, in the past. You've done a great job there.
I think I'm going to invent a new role. I'm going to be a professional nominator, professional motioner.
Yeah, it pays to be the first one to speak up, doesn't it?
Again, just for all clarity in the record, wasn't looking to shed anything. It's just, you know, I also, you know, when I joined the board, you know, everybody was doing their thing, and it, just want to make sure it's clear that I'm a team player. So, however, you know, however that works, great. I'm in it for the team. So.
Okay.
Great. Thanks for carrying the torch for a while, Joe. It worked out really well.
And
yeah, I'm sure the torch will come back around at some point with something. Who knows?
Yeah.
Okay. But no, in all sincerity, guys, really, in all sincerity, I think we have a good board. I think the folks that are doing the jobs are doing them great. We, you know, I think we have a lot of success. We're very efficient, and I don't see why we'd want to disrupt that right now.
Okay. Well, thank you for that. So that brings us to minutes. Approval of the NAA public minutes of December 16, 2020. Do I have a motion to approve those minutes?
I'll put forth the motion.
I'll second, or whoever.
That's fine. Go ahead, Dave.
Okay. Any discussion on that motion? Okay. All those in favor of approving the NAA public minutes of December 16, 2020, please say aye.
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 And any opposed? Okay, that motion carries. Let's see, Trigger's report. I'd like to switch these around. I'd like to take care of the approval of the November 2020 and December 2020 financial statements, subject to audit first, if that's okay with people.
Sure.
Is that me?
That is you.
Oh, yeah, I guess I was just elected again, wasn't I?
There's no ball, though, this year. It's COVID safe, so no party, no ball.
All right. you may recall that last month there was a little hiccup in the reports, and we ended up with some October numbers mixed in with the November stuff, and so we decided to table the November numbers until this month, which are here, and I've been through them. Brian Law's made a couple of comments as well, and we've talked about it. I think things are in pretty good shape. There's just a couple of things of note. In November, there was a couple of miscellaneous income number of some billing on somebody that crashed through our fence. Hopefully we'll collect that at some point in time. But right now it's in receivables. Oops, sorry, I'm scrolling kind of fast here, guys. That's kind of this guy right here. That number, that $69,000 number from the CARES Act stuff has been sitting there since July, so that's going to just sit there all year. I don't want to talk about it anymore. If we are maybe getting new stuff, which we'll talk about that later. For the month of the payroll seems to be on track year to date for both November and December. There's nothing else of note in November, unless somebody else has an observation. I'm going to talk about payroll in a second. So anyway, November came in pretty good with a $10,000 income number. Now, if I scroll down here to compare it to the budget that we do, where'd it go? There it is. Again, we're revenues a little bit off, but expenses have been somewhat in check for different reasons. But the bottom line is that we're running a little bit better than budget from a net income perspective through November. So again, nothing else of note. So I'm gonna skip down into December at this point. Balance sheet is still solid. Our cash position remains solid. We've got enough money, tied up in CDs, but at this point, at pretty good rates. And the non-interest bearing account, the operating account, is got enough of reserve in it, plenty of reserve in it, for any kind of shortfall. This is the operating number. We're not earning money on that. This is project money, which we will be talking about at some point once the project gets going. And then these two amounts here amount to the investments, CDs tied up there. So we're plenty liquid. I've got no issues going on there. So I'm going to scroll down to December now, which looks a lot like November. Again, not a lot of magic going on. I want to scroll down to the month and year-to-date numbers. We had about $3,000 per storm, is my understanding. Right, Chris? At $100 a hanger. Oh, you're muted, Chris.
Sorry, dude.
Yeah, so is that the deal, about $3,300 per storm, roughly?
Stand by 1 second, Dave.
Got a stuck mic.
Yeah, Chris, you're still muted.
I was talking to Susan, just trying to get the exact figure, Dave.
Yeah. Well, it looks like we had like three storms.
$3,375 per storm.
Say again?
$3,375 per storm.
So that there must have been three storms in December. It must have been three events.
Yes.
Okay. Because that's what that adds up. That's what that number here is, the snowplow income. It's the and then that then resulted in some overtime going on here, and part-time wages as well for our part-time snowplowers. So that's kind of relationship there. And I'll talk about this number here. If you compare it to the same period, to a November number, or to the December number of last year, rather, of 2019. There's a couple of things going on, and I know Brian Law, you mentioned this earlier in the week, and it has to do with the biggest part of it is it's not 52-53 week year, because that would be a year-to-date issue. It's the it had to do with a 5-week versus a 4-week month. It was the biggest piece. This year we had a 5-week month. Last December we had a 4-week month. And then we also, the Christmas bonuses that we paid out took place this year in December versus January of last year. And so there's a little bit of it. And then plus this normal salary increases over the years. So that number is a little bit higher this year in December than it has been. That's this guy here. But year to date, you know, from a budget perspective, we're still in good shape. I do want to call your attention to this number here, this line item called vehicle repairs and maintenance. That's this guy. The year to date is $22,000. That's over 6 months. I went through that with Susan, and you know, there's some major things in there. We might reclassify them probably in January, maybe. The big items there was about $7,500 of equipment add-ons and replacements for the new snowblower. We had a truck body that we purchased of $4,100 during the year, and then some pump valves and other things on the JD, the high-speed dozer, I guess. So there's some arguably long-term improvements to some of our equipment sitting in that number that we may reclass out to assets. But even with that in there, we're still, looking at a positive ordinary income so far this year. From a year-to-date perspective and, of course, a month perspective. Oops, stop that. So then I just want to go down to the budget part here. That's coming. So again, you can see a little bit of the payroll anomaly here, but again, that's more towards budget. And so the budget, we built the budget the same way the actuals were supposed to be. So this is a 5-week month. We did a 5-week budget and vice versa. So you'll see those numbers here, and those numbers we talked about, you know, the part-time and the overtime, that has to do with the this guy up here as well. So, and we thought there was going to be like two storms, and it looked like there were three storms in December. So that's what happened there. So other than that, you know, again, we're in good shape, both from a budgetary comparison to budget. We're 11 grand ahead for the first 6 months. And at some point, this guy here that we keep putting into the budget every year, this marketing budget, we're going to do something with that puppy. But at this point, we're looking at $11,000 year-to-date number. So, for 6 months, we're looking pretty good. Anybody have any questions? Okay.
Do you want a motion to accept these financials before we move on to the other?
Yes, we do.
All right. I move to accept the November and December financials as presented.
Subject audit.
Subject audit.
I will second that. And do we have any further discussion on the November and December financial subject audit? Very well. All those in favor of accepting the November 2020 and December 2020 financial subject to audit, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Okay. Motion carries. So next up, presentation of the FY 2020 audit report by Vachon, Cloquet, and Company. Do we have a representative tonight?
Yes.
Indeed.
He's the only guy with a tie.
So please go ahead. You have the floor.
Okay. I'm Matthew Murray. I've been working with Vacheron Cloutier and Company for about 13 years, and I'm the audit manager on the engagement. So I'll go over basically the authority's financial statements for the year ended June 30th, 2020. Mm-hmm. So the most important thing for the authority is the opinion on the financial statements. And the authority had an unmodified opinion, which is commonly referred to as a clean opinion, on its financial statements, meaning that there were no material misstatements within the audited financial records, and all the required disclosures that are supposed to be there were in there. This year was the first year in, I believe, 4 years that we were also required to do a federal compliance audit. So with that, what happened is the authority had federal expenditures in excess of $750,000. And once you exceed that threshold, it triggers a single audit. And I mean, they changed it to the audit in accordance with uniform guidance is now the name for it. And as part of that, we tested compliance with all the compliance requirements that are deemed to be direct and material. Every year, the federal government puts out what they call the OMB compliance supplement. And within the compliance supplement, it lists off all the things that the individual awarding agency says are applicable to the program. And from that, we go through and then we have to determine which of the ones that they say are applicable are deemed to be direct and material to the programs for the one that gets selected as a major program.
So Matt, this is my understanding that this is more of a compliance audit as well as a numerical audit.
Yes.
Okay. And it's the A-133 stuff that, so this was for the last project we had, which was the place that down by the brick hangar ramp, that area, correct?
So what ends up happening is we go through, we look at it, and we say, okay, what are your individual programs themselves? And if there is one program that exceeds what they call a type A program, so a type A program is there's many factors that determine it, but for you guys, because your federal awards aren't high enough, they determine anything to be a type A program as something with in excess of $750,000 worth of expenditures. None of your individual programs themselves had in excess of $750,000. And actually what triggered your federal compliance audit is every year when we go out there, we inquire of Susan, Chris, and I believe it's Matthew, about any federally, like the federal surplus property program. And in the current year, there was actually a piece of equipment that the federal government assigned, I believe it was a $583,000-$584,000 value. And that's what triggered the actual single audit, because aside from that, there was only about $590,000 in airport improvement grants, the largest of which related to the snow removal equipment.
Okay.
So.
All right. That's fine.
Okay. So
then our next one is probably not going to be until we do the west or northwest hangar area, which is the $3 million deal coming up, right?
From my discussions with Chris and Susan, it sounded like that was something that was in the works and might be something that starts in roughly the springtime. And I mean, Chris can correct me if I'm wrong on that.
That is correct.
That is.
So we're looking at this again and then probably in a year or two, in a couple of years.
Depending on how much work actually gets done, because out of all the expenditures with the grants, the share is 90% federal,
right,
percent state, and 5% for the authority.
So if you end up having, quick math in my head.
Matt, if I could interrupt for a second here, it's going to be 100% funding on this project.
Oh.
We got CARES Act grant money for the matching funds.
So you probably won't have to do it in 2021.
Okay. So it's 100% you guys or 100% federal?
Federal.
It's 90% federal, and then the matching 5 and 5 is being covered by a CARES Act grant federal as well. So AIP funds and then federal CARES Act grant for the remainder.
But Chris, is that federal grant, is that part of a federal program that may fall into that? Or is it still our liability, even though the grant's paying for it?
I guess that would be.
Yeah, all right, we'll look at that next. We'll look at that later in the year. That's not a tonight issue anyway.
Okay. The way that you're at least describing it, Chris, it sounds like that it will be federal funds and it'll have a CFDA number attached to it, which is probably somewhere in whether it be your application or the documentation that they send you. They're required to let you know what the federal funds are. And that's kind of like an issue that we've had more or less with the state. But for you guys, it's always been kind of clear cut and straightforward because everything is coming from DOT, Bureau of Aeronautics.
Okay. So, Matt, we've all been through the numbers. I think they look fine. I understand how we got from the numbers that we published back in July and mm-hmm. then what you did to them to screw them all up and make us have a loss. Sorry. But, yeah, and, of course, the biggest adjustment is the depreciation. It's a non-cash item. So I think we're all good with that. Just a quick question. How was the process? Did you see anything that jumped off at you that we should fix? Are there any issues that you came across that we should address from either a governance perspective or an internal control perspective?
So we've made recommendations in the past when anything comes up, we obviously address it with, Susan, or I believe it was Mary Beth before, I believe, and, the prior airport manager as well. So we try to make sure that something gets addressed right away if we deem that there can be some level of an improvement. And if it's something that warrants the level of communications of those charged with governance, we absolutely will. I can tell you that the cooperation that we get from Chris and Susan when we're out there for the audit, and again, this is another one of the ones that I actually got to go out on site for, and I'm very appreciative of that and the fact that we were able to socially distance because that allowed the audit to go significantly smoother than it would have in the past. I know I've talked to Susan about we've always done the evaluation of the single employer OPEB liability, because right now the authority is on the city of Nashua's health insurance plan, and you guys pay them a monthly premium, and you guys get lumped into the actual city of Nashua's OPEB valuation, and we've always looked at it and said the numbers that they have there, they're not material to the financial statements, so those numbers actually don't go into your financial statements. If it ever were to approach that level, we would absolutely discuss it with you. And I know we had to work directly with, and I'm thankful that Susan has such a great connection with the city because she was actually able to provide a draft copy of it first. And then I looked at it and contacted the audit manager, or actually he's a partner now at Melanson Heath, contacted him and said, any chance that you can have the city reach out to their actuaries because these numbers don't appear right. They were projecting out an initial liability of close to $500,000.
You got to watch out for those other auditors.
No, you know what? They're fantastic to work with, and they're extremely responsive. And they got anything that we had questions on, they get it addressed, real quick.
Yeah.
But as far as anything internal control related, obviously, if we see anything, we're going to discuss it with management right away. And if we feel that it warrants involvement of you, it would either come in the form of a written communication to you, or we would ask to speak to you directly about it. and then we would actually stick it into a written communication as well.
So none of that stuff existed then this year. Other than the OPEP pickup with the city, there were no issues that you came across regarding our operations and any control issues and that kind of thing, correct?
Nope.
Okay. All right. Great. Yeah, I don't want to get too much into the numbers, but I guess again they seem to be presented similar to how we came up with them at the end of June, and with a few adjustments that you guys made, and I think we're in good shape there. So unless there's anything else, Matt, that you tripped over or anything that you saw that was that we should do better at, I'll just at this point make a motion to accept the financials. Anybody else have any questions of Vachon Kluge?
I read through this before, when we reviewed the draft and scanned it again. I'm fine with it. I would second the motion to accept as presented.
Okay. Is that Brian?
Yes. Sorry.
I can only see your nose.
Oh, sorry, I'm leaning back in the chair.
Okay. So we have a motion on the floor to approve the financial year 2020 audit report by Vachon Kluge and Company. Do we have any more discussion?
To accept it. I think we've already approved it. We just have to accept it. That's all.
Okay. So do we accept the do we accept the report? Is there any more discussion on this? Joe?
No, I'm good.
Okay.
I was hoping you'd ask some questions, Joe.
I'll, I figured I'd treat everybody to just keeping it clean this year, so.
All right.
Okay. In that case, all those in favor of accepting the financial year 2020 audit report by Vachon Kluge and Company, say aye.
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 Any opposed? Okay, motion carries. The audit report is accepted. Thank you.
Matthew, I just want to tell you that everybody's happy with what you guys are doing. You seem to be very efficient, so you're not tying up people. And so we appreciate that. But thorough but efficient, that's good.
Okay, we like to express our gratitude too because of the kind of the circumstances that we ran into this year, which I don't know how much Chris shared with you with what went on with the actual engagement partner himself, but we had a little bit of something come up close to year end and kind of had to, ask. We worked with Melanson Heath first and said, when do you anticipate getting these out? If it is a top priority, we can absolutely get it done. But if it's nothing that you don't that you see that you're going to get done before year end, is it okay if we push this into January? And we appreciate Chris and his understanding on everything, and the board and you guys understanding the fact that we had a little bit more of a delay than we would normally do on this.
Sure, that's fine. Yeah, but I mean the city stuff that's got to get done by December 31st because of the CAFR, but. But that could push your stuff into January too, so we understand that.
So that's what we worked with the city to see whether, or not the city, but Melanson to see if they were getting an extension at all on their CAFR.
Right.
And the partner responsible for it said, I believe it was around the 20th, said that they filed for an extension, so we're not going to push it to try to make sure that it gets done before year end. We'll wait, and I believe that it was the start of this week they actually got the audited financial statements out.
Okay. So this is Scott's not doing it anymore. Who's the partner over there on that?
I believe Ed Boyd.
Oh, Ed Boyd, good. He's a good guy.
Yep. No, so he's my direct contact basically for the Melanson for the city's auditors.
Right.
And I always try to at least like reach out to Chris first too and say. Like once the financial statements were issued,
right.
Because I know certain pieces go into, City of Nashua's CAFR, I get permission from him to be able to provide that to Melanson so that they can get the information in.
Okay. All right. Well, thanks very much.
Thank you. Okay. Have a great evening.
Thank you, Matt.
Thank you, Matt.
Thanks, Matt.
Thanks, Chris.
So, okay, so moving on, the NAA received a couple communications this month from MACAIR, exercise option to extend ground lease for 9 perimeter, and then a few days later, a note to rescind that. So we don't have anything to discuss regarding 9 perimeter at the moment. Reports, David, could you scroll to the tower numbers?
Sure. Yep. Sleeping here. Get so involved in the financial stuff. I don't know. Wrong one. Where'd it go? There we go.
There you go.
Okay, hold on. Don't anybody tip sideways here. Hold on. There. How's that?
Okay. Let me fix something on my screen. Okay, so for the month of December 2020, 6,501 operations. So that's a decline of 1024 versus.
That's for the year.
That's for the year.
500 is up from the prior year. It's up by 91.
Okay.
Yep. I believe year to date, we're still down, which not we're only down like I guess it's 3%.
Right, so you're tick up in December, and then year over year, you're just down a couple points.
Yeah.
So anyway, the numbers are still looking reasonable.
Yeah, we're not falling out off the planet, but we're not really. Kicking butt either, so. But
I mean, all things considered, this year, exactly. I mean, there's a pretty big. Look at those reds month over month on the right there.
Yeah.
And all those, netted out to relatively shallow decline. It's, I guess, a win.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's kind of like the old adage. It's not how good your good shots are; it's how good your bad shots are. It's a golf thing. But to just to keep things in perspective too, we have the fuel farm income, which is tracking pretty well. Fuel flowage fees, we are down a bit here, because of the little bit lower flying. But it's not horrible. And that's $2,800 down for the 6 months. So. It's not great, but it's not horrible either. Given the situation.
Sure. So let's see. Back to the agenda. That brings us to the manager's report.
Okay. Good evening. Couple things going on there. First of all, I'd like to echo Joe's sentiments on the nominations for the directors. Farrell, obviously, I think you've been doing a fantastic job as chairman.
Thank you.
Very professional all the time. I appreciate all the help you've given me over the years. Dave, you're obviously, as Joe said, you are the professional CPA, and we couldn't ask for a better treasurer, so I appreciate the fact that you watch over us like you do and help us when we need help. Brian, like Joe said earlier, you're filling the role fine. We know you're busy. You have a lot of things on your plate, and I appreciate all the time you can give us. Joe, you've been on for a while. You didn't say much about yourself, but, again, as secretary and all the input we've had over the years, it's much appreciated. And Jess is fairly new to the board. Now she gets to be secretary. Would you call that told and tiered?
No, voluntold.
Voluntold. There we go. But anyway,
yes, you did pretty well to get a full year. But the day I joined the board, I was 5 minutes late to the first meeting, and I came in to find out I was vice chair. So,
well, I must confess.
That's what happens when you're
I must confess, what pushed me over the edge is seeing you wordsmith that letter on the plane. I'm like, that's it. She's a winner. She can do it.
All the movies were United, so, you know, that was awesome.
So I just want to thank you all. I know these are volunteer positions, and it's much appreciated that you put all the time and effort in that you do to help us run the National Airport. The busiest airport in the state, and I'd say the best airport in the state. So thank you for your help. Upcoming events or recent events, we've had none. Unfortunately, as everybody knows, we've been dealing with this global pandemic. I have scheduled an upcoming event finally in June 23rd through the 27th. Excuse me. The Commemorative Air Force will be visiting Nashua. They'll be bringing the B-29 and B-24 squadron, which is the B-29 Super Fortress Fifi and the B-24 Diamond Lil. Along with that, they're going to have a T-6 Texan, T-51 Mustang, and a PT-13 Stearman. Their plan is to arrive Monday, June 21st and depart Monday, June 28th. The gates will be open from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. each day between June 23rd and the 27th. So mark your calendars. They'll be running all the gate, collecting all the gate fees. It'll be $20 per adult, excuse me, $10 per child over the age of 10. To book rides, you can go on the B-29, B-24 desk, ride desk. It's online, and I think you can see I have the link right up on the screen. www.airpowersquadron.org/Nashua-New Hampshire. And as you may recall in the past, they were here a couple of years ago, Commemorative Air Force, and they smashed their records in terms of rides and turnout here at Nashua. So let's keep our fingers crossed for some good weather, and should be a great turnout. The community loves to see it, and I'm looking forward to it. Other items of interest, Nashua Airport Authority has recently received its grant offer, finally, for the Phase 2 pavement maintenance project. As Dave alluded to earlier, that's the paving project that will go on in the northwest end from basically the Airport Authority office all the way down beyond Hangars 129 and all the taxi lanes in between. And Nick will talk more about that in a few minutes when Nick from Gale Engineering comes up to speak. Another item of interest, the FAA is considering a request. This is a notice basically to airmen. The FAA is considering a request by the U.S. Air Force to establish the CHUGS, Temporary MOA, Military Operations Area. It's going to be in the vicinity of Windham, Vermont. The purpose of the TMOA is for an upcoming exercise called Exercises Eagle Claw 2101. The Eagle Claw 2101 will take place between the 1st of June through the 30th of June of this year. So just a heads up to any pilots out there, make sure you check your NOTAMs and be aware of this. It's going to be a very active MOA during its time.
Chris, that's over in the Keene and West area, correct?
That is correct.
And
I believe it'll be flowing down into Massachusetts. I don't have the graphical in front of me, Dave.
Yep.
But it's still at this point, it's proposed. It's not etched in stone. So, like I said, just make sure everybody checks NOTAMs. I'm sorry?
I'm sorry, Chris. It may affect the Acro guys' box over near Swansea.
If I may speak to that, it actually won't. They're going to be operating, if I recall, 10,000 feet above and above. It's for the F-15 guys.
Correct.
And they don't like to be down at our altitudes.
Okay.
So, again, just, you know, everybody keep an eye on NOTAMs. Want to keep everybody safe. Another item, on January 11th, I presented the Nashua Airport Authority's capital improvement plan to the City of Nashua Capital Improvement Committee. I think all went well. It's kind of a short session. Basically, I had presented this stuff to them in December via emails, and they went over everything. And, you know, it's just a session to get together if they had any questions about what we had submitted. So it looks like so far so good. I submit to them a six-year plan based on our CIP that we generate with the Bureau of Aeronautics from the state of New Hampshire. So everything went well. At the same time, I notified the committee that we had recently received our grant offer and that it was 100% funded. And we were, at that point, we were no longer seeking the 5% matching fund from the city, which was great news for the city. And get ready for the next project. Other item of interest, currently the NAA, we're talking about hangar availability. We do not have any potential tenants on our waiting list for aeronautical use of hangars. I do have a couple of people that have contacted me on the list, but they're looking in future years, looking for hangars. They're building aircraft, and they're not quite ready to come to the airport, but we keep them on the radar and keep them informed. We have a couple of hangars for sale at the airport at the moment. T-hangar available on Building 13, Forrest Nelson's hangar. And also Archie Frangoudis in Hangar 127 has listed his hangar as being for sale. So if anybody has any questions and is looking for contact information, you can contact me directly. Other than that, I don't have anything else at the moment unless anybody has any questions. Crickets. Thank you.
Hey, thank you, Chris. So moving on, that brings us to our engineer's report. And, you know, we have Nick tonight.
Good to see everyone. Can you hear me?
Yes, indeed.
All right. So Gail is currently administering two projects on behalf of the authority. The first, as Chris alluded to, is the pavement maintenance phase two project. The airport has received their grant offer that's been signed and hand-delivered by Chris back to NHDOT. Thank you very much, Chris. So with that being said, Gail began circulating contracts. We have received these contracts from the contractor. There was a little hiccup with their certificate of insurance. We had to request another one because the one that they provided with the contract expired in March. So they have provided that as far as I believe they've gone through the end of this year at least, so that should cover us. And then once those contracts are fully executed, the contractor intends to tackle this project early on in the year since all the funding is in place. They don't have to wait for anything. So I would expect a spring start as soon as the weather breaks. But we have not received a anticipated schedule from the contractor yet. So that's where this project currently stands. Any questions on the pavement maintenance project? Okay, not hearing any. I will move on to the rehabilitation of Taxiway Alpha. We have provided documents for the airport manager to solicit an independent fee estimate. That has come in. Gail has provided our fee proposal to the airport, and as long as those costs are within 10% of the IFE, this is typically viewed as acceptable in the eyes of FAA and DOT. We have coordinated with the NHDOT Bureau of Aeronautics on the specifics of the project and confirmed that the rehabilitation of Taxiway Alpha will... So I'm going to pause right here. I prepared this last week prior to a meeting that was held on Monday, so this information is out of date. The meeting that we had on Monday confirms that Taxiway Alpha will remain 40 feet. It will not be reduced to 35 feet. So this is good news. You get to keep that extra 5 feet of width. Not only do you not have to deal with that funky geometric configuration that is currently the standard at FAA, but your lighting system will be replaced in kind in their current locations. What I've seen with the new lighting systems when they're laid out for the new geometry is it just looks like an ocean of blue. There's a lot of taxiway edge lights. So I think the methodology that we've selected and FAA has approved is the best possible scenario, aside from relocating Alpha, obviously. But everything is moving forward. We are in full swing design. We have received concurrence from the New Hampshire Department of Environmental Services that this project qualifies for a general permit by rule, so no submissions to NHDES are required. We have initiated coordination with the Natural Heritage Bureau as well, because there are some areas of sensitive habitat present in the Taxiway Alpha environment, so we reached out to the Natural Heritage Bureau to coordinate with them, and they do not need any sort of formal application, but they would like for us to bring on GZA, who's our environmental sub-consultant, and we have done that, and we have added those items to the scope of work. That was after the independent fee estimate was initiated, so Gale's fee is, again, within 10% of the independent fee estimate with the additional permitting that was not accounted for in the IFE. So I think we're doing good on the fee proposal here. And then we are, again, progressing into the design phase. We have completed incorporating the latest survey data into the base plans, and we're currently working on the geometry and grading. I believe we actually started the lighting layout today as well. So that is where this project currently sits. Actions requested of the board are: please review both Gale's draft contract and the independent fee estimate upon receipt. And it was a little bit late to get on the agenda this month, but next month we would be looking for a motion to approve, or I guess whatever amendments might be necessary to approve Gale's contract next month.
Nick, do we have these things, the draft contracts and the IFEs, or no?
Yes, those have both been provided.
Okay. All right. And the taxiway lighting, so this is the edge lighting, similar to what we have now, the little posts that stick out?
Right? Yes.
So we're not doing the in the pavement stuff.
Right. There will be no in-pavement lights.
Okay. Nope. May I ask a question?
Absolutely.
Go ahead, Wes.
Wes Liu, for the recording. I actually have two questions. One is the lighting going to go LED? And the second question is given the reference aircraft for this airport, why would the FAA want to reduce the width to 35 feet?
So to answer your first question, yes, we intend to go with LED taxiway edge lights. The current geometry standards, and I'm sure you guys have seen the new geometry with those angular fillets rather than smooth curves, that was brought about by FAA as an effort to keep costs lower. So in the straight sections, the nominal width is 35 feet, which would be adequate for the design aircraft for this airport. At the intersections and within about 100 feet of them, everything gets a lot wider. So at the intersection of, say, Delta and Alpha, you would actually be at about 50 feet wide. So in the straight sections, it's harder to deviate from the pavement. So they shrunk everything down a little bit and then widened it out at the intersections, and I think they experienced some percentage of savings in asphalt based on their calculations. But again, we have been approved to rehabilitate what's currently there, so it's staying at 40 feet, and I think it's a great win for everyone involved.
Okay, thank you.
Yep, it's been difficult working with FAA, in other areas of New England, airports have actually, on their master plan shown a 50-foot taxiway, and FAA has only approved 25 feet of width. I believe it's happening at commercial service airports, too. In Burlington, Vermont, they had to reduce their taxiway width from 100 feet down to 75 halfway through a parallel taxiway reconstruction project. And if you go to Google Earth, you can see where it narrows So it's I think a blessing that this rehabilitation is at 40 feet.
Nick, if I can add something to that, we had a meeting with the FAA and the Hampshire DOT, Bureau of Aeronautics, John Kirkendall in particular from the FAA, and you know, we presented this scenario, this project, and I think, Nick, you can talk a little more detailed about it. In order to make those changes, it would have created an astronomical amount of work. It would have included changing swales, drainage systems, the whole nine yards. So it turns out it was far more cost-effective to remain at 40 feet wide rather than going to the new standards. It really got down to the point where we would have been better off going back to the moving of Taxiway Alpha if we're going to spend all that kind of money. Correct? Yep.
One more question. Mm-hmm. What with Taxiway does a B-29 need?
That's a tough one. I'm sorry. I don't know the wheelbase off the top of my head.
He's 40 feet, but they do it when the CAF is here. They generally do a lot of back taxiing. But they do it on the it's at least 40 feet, but that's about it. I think those tires are right. But I know they have to stop the outboard engine so they don't hit the taxi lights.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they do that so they don't take out the signs. And but unfortunately, they're not our based aircraft. So like Nick said, everything's based on it. Was it a D2 category, Nick?
Yes, Taxiway Design Group is B2.
B2, I'm sorry. Mm-hmm.
Nick, one question for me. Is FAA going to pay to provide conduit for the taxiway lighting, or is it still going to be a buried wire?
That is something that I know we had discussed. I have not begun the design of that system yet. My intuition tells me that they are not going to support that because this project is already at about a $4 million budget. It's going to be tight.
Okay.
But I can certainly go through that process of trying to get that approved.
Okay.
It's no issue for me. It's going to come down to creative justification if it's possible.
In my opinion, it doesn't hurt to ask, and from what Chris has told me, we've had just no end of trouble with the buried wire.
Yep. I know.
Nick's aware of the fact that we have a really high, I believe it was the high iron content. Nick, is that what's contributing to this? All of our ground wires have corroded away.
Yeah, and that goes back to when Ron Willey was the head of maintenance. We would go out and take a look at some of the grounding systems around the nav aids and at the fences, and some of those ground rods would just completely have deteriorated to the point where the ground cable isn't even connected anymore. And I think that's the reason for the lightning damage being so prevalent at Nashua. There is a high iron content in the native soils, so things just tend to carry a little bit further. I don't know if that would be an acceptable justification for putting everything in conduit, but I'll give it the old college try for sure.
We had the safety issue too, Nick, if you recall. Excuse me. When we had the breaks in the taxiway lights, I was perplexed as to why we were holding a wire up in the air essentially on one end, and 100 yards away, we had lights that were lit up, and it's like, how can this be? Mm-hmm. And it was because with the brakes, the other brakes in the wire, excuse me, they were pumping about 50,000 volts of electricity through the ground, and the broken wire further on down the string was picking it up. Mm-hmm. And it's all due to the high iron content. You can flow the electricity almost without the wires.
Mm-hmm.
So...
So we'll certainly get wires with sound jacketing on them in the ground. Whether it's in duct or not is going to be an update I can give next month.
Okay.
Chris, just don't grab both ends.
Just a thought.
Depends on how this meeting goes.
Don't worry, it's not voltage that kills you, it's amperage.
That is true. Van de Graaff generator isn't going to kill you.
There's way too many engineers in this group, man.
Okay,
Errol, I have a question.
Yes?
If I may, of Nick. Nick, thank you for your presentation. Will there be any change in weight-bearing capability of the taxiway once it's completed?
There will not. The design aircraft remains the G4, so we will design based on that loading.
That's great. Thank you.
Okay, do we have any more questions tonight for Nick? Okay, with that, we're going to move on to, we're going to move on to committees. We have no committees outstanding at the moment. We have no old business at the moment. New business, I actually have two items. One came in a little bit too late to get on the agenda. So first up is Imagine Nashua, Sarah Marchant. Is Sarah on the call tonight?
Yes, good evening. I'm here.
Okay, good evening. I'm going to ask for your forgiveness and indulgence. I have a gentleman I'd like to bring on the call and, under new business. If you don't mind, Sarah, I'd like to bump you into number two.
That's fine.
Okay. I'm going to ask Brad Creek to join the call. We were approached at the end of last week with the possibility of, being a host to a COVID vaccination center. And, Shane is, generously volunteered one of his buildings, for the purpose of running this. And I've invited, a fellow who's coordinating this. His name is Brad Creek, and hopefully he's about to join the call. I don't know if you see his name up yet, Chris, in the waiting room.
I don't. He was on the call earlier. I admitted him in. Brad, are you with us? I don't see him on the roster at the moment, Farrell.
Okay. I did send him a text to ask him to join.
Okay.
Since he's not with us, I'm going to ask Sarah to please go ahead.
Great. Is it okay if I share my screen?
Sure.
Just need permission.
Dave, we can only do one at a time. Can you pull down your screen?
I just turned mine off, Chris. Go ahead.
No, you haven't stopped sharing.
Okay, hold on. Oh, here we go. Yeah, go ahead.
There you go. All right. Bear with me 1 second.
All right, Brad just chimed in. Excuse me.
Oh, okay.
Let's give him 1 second here. Joining. Hi, Brad. Are you with us?
I am. Good evening.
Welcome.
How are you?
Doing well. Farrell, would you like to speak again for a moment?
Okay, so ladies and gentlemen, this is Brad Creek. Brad is coordinating an effort for the governor's office to identify sites in Nashua and facilities that could potentially be used as COVID-19 vaccination centers. A couple different sites in Nashua have been identified. One of those would be, 9-perimeter road at the airport, and that is one of Shane's buildings. But I'll turn the floor over to Brad to please explain, in a little more detail what this is about.
Sure. Thank you very much. And feel free to just sort of jump in and interrupt if you have questions along the way. But I'll just try to provide a quick overview of the effort that's underway. So there is a, I'd say, relatively informal working group of folks from around the southern tier of the state, primarily business people, that have come together to try to figure out if there is a way for the private sector to partner up with the state with a goal, really very, very simple goal of trying to accelerate the vaccination effort here in the state. So there are really three, and I'd be happy to, you know, sort of share with you, you know, some of the folks on the working group, myself, former Senator Ayotte, Kelly Ayotte, who's a Nashua resident. Many of you know, I'm sure many of you either know her or know of her. Joe LaPlante, who is a federal district court a judge up in Concord. Diane Mercier, who is the CEO of People's United Bank, located up in Manchester, but probably more relevant to this situation, the chair of the board of Solutions Health, which is the parent company for Elliott Hospital, the Elliott Health System, and the Southern New Hampshire Medical Center System. And then a handful of other people, Bill Greiner, Andy Cruz, a guy named Jeremy Hitchcock, who pretty savvy technology guy and so forth. So there are 11 or 12 people that that have been chatting for a couple of weeks now. And what we've done is developed what we think is a model that was actually presented to the governor this morning that really is built off of the state's 13 site sort of pop-up clinic site model that's currently being staffed by the National Guard, one of which is in Nashua. It's at Nashua High School South, outdoors. There's one in Manchester at Southern New Hampshire University right on campus, and then 11 others across the state. So what we did is decided, instead of trying to boil the ocean and try to figure out what this would look like across the entirety of the state, given a number of us were, you know, pretty close to the, you know, just the kind of the comings and goings here in Nashua, decided to try to focus on Nashua as an illustrative geography and focus on three things, all in the context of building off of this, the National Guard clinic site model that's here in New Hampshire. And the first thing we did is try to identify a handful of locations in Nashua that we thought would be good candidates to be mass vaccination sites, which is what brought us to you all through Farrell and Chris and Shane and Brian, et cetera, et cetera. So the perimeter road site and the airport in general was pretty attractive for lots of reasons. We've identified four other sites in addition to the Nashua High School South site: Nashua High School North, Bishop Girton, Nashua Community College, are among the list. So that's sort of element number one, is can we build out a model that had four or five mass vaccination sites across the city that made sense in terms of size and the ability to scale and so forth. The second element was how we could tap into the private sector for purposes of helping the state staff and scale these sites. And that really comes down to two things. One is trying to tap into clinical expertise, nurses or similar that had the training to do the vaccinations. And the second is administrative staff that could help staff each of these sites, whether that be from a traffic flow perspective, registering patients, whatever the case may be. And we've gotten commitments from about a half a dozen large businesses in and around the greater Nashua community, all of whom are very willing and ready to help out. And then the final element is technology. So for those of you who have been following closely along with this whole vaccination effort, I think what's become very clear is that one of the limiting factors that's slowing the process down is the front-end technology and the bottleneck that exists in the scheduling and the registration process for people to actually just get scheduled to get vaccinated. So we've identified a couple of what we think are pretty savvy technology experts with the ability to, you know, sort of scale up with some expertise and you know, hopefully help with building kind of a scale scheduling and registration system, whether brand new or kind of on top of what is being used right now. So those are kind of the three primary elements. Sat with the governor this morning. I was not there, but our team, a subset of our team, sat with the governor this morning, and we actually have a little debrief at 7:30 tonight for our team to kind of get the lowdown on how that meeting went. But at least the initial reaction seems to have been pretty positive. So that's what we're up to. And again, the kind of the your location, the facility, and there are lots of details to work out, of course. But we think that there's a lot that's potentially attractive about working with you and seeing if, you know, if the state is interested and wants to move forward, trying to dig in a little bit and see if we can work out some of those details, for Nine Perimeter to be one of the vaccination sites. So let me stop there, and that's a lot to digest in 5 minutes, but let me stop there and take your questions or kind of talk more specifically about anything that's interesting to you.
Okay, so this, you know, earlier this week, I communicated with the board about this, and, you know, I also presented to the board a short list of concerns that Chris and I have, and maybe how those could be mitigated. One of the things is we can envision that having a vaccination center at Nine Perimeter would generate or potentially generate a huge amount of traffic to Pine Hill Road and particularly to Perimeter Road, neither of which are really sufficiently, you know, wide enough to support a whole bunch of traffic, particularly if people were to park along the road waiting to get into the vaccination center and then get out. You know, that was one of the concerns, because that would have impacts, you know, particularly on airport businesses and on non-airport businesses on the even side of Perimeter. And, we had a few other concerns as well. I spelled those out in a note that I addressed to the mayor that I think I shared with all the board members. And, I guess we'll learn at some point on how that was received. But, we did describe, or I did describe in that note some mitigations, particularly the use of the Daniel Webster College campus as a staging area for vehicles. The state would provide sufficient personnel to marshal vehicles, and we could bring vehicles in, say, in small batches over to Nine Perimeter. Because the idea, the idea is to have a drive-through vaccination center. People would not get out of their vehicles. They'd roll down their windows, and receive a vaccination, from medical staff. Is that all correct, Brad?
Yeah, I think that's exactly right. And obviously the flow of that and the setup of that, and those are all details that would have to be ironed out with you and whatever the state's staff was. My sense is it would probably be led by the National Guard.
Mm-hmm.
And they would coordinate with you and try to figure out how to sort of build that operating model. But I think that's exactly right. That's generally right. And one of the things that's so attractive about your location is that, A, it's a huge hangar, 15,000 square feet. And as we understand how it's laid out, you can open up the huge doors on either side and actually still be undercover, but have an open air situation, which from a ventilation perspective and so forth would be awfully attractive. So if we could figure out, kind of what the track would look like, and how we deal with the traffic. And we have, by the way, reached out to Daniel Webster and, are trying to move that discussion forward as well, and certainly understand that this is challenging without addressing the traffic issue, maybe impossible without addressing the traffic issue. So, we're trying to nail that down and get Daniel Webster up to speed. That's not been done yet, but we're working on it.
Sure. So
if I could add something, I was in the meeting as well. We have to make sure that, and we already talked about this in the meeting, that all of the traffic will be contained within the hangar via the Perimeter Road entrance and exit, even though the doors will be open, access to the airport itself, to the ramps, the taxiways, et cetera, will be blocked. So nobody will be venturing around the airport.
Right.
And, you know, I can just, from my perspective and the board's, from my perspective, I know that Farrell's done a ton of work on it. Shane and Brian have also done a lot of work on it in terms of, you know, even just offering the facility. It's a great idea. And I think if there's a way to get it done, all the details and logistics can be worked out. Yeah. I think it would be a great idea. I think it's a, you know, the more of these things we can get in people's arms, then, you know, if that helps it, then I'm all for it. And if we can just, again, work out the logistics and coordinate, you know, the traffic flow, I think it's great. Plus, it doesn't hurt to have a little bit of exposure for the airport.
Yeah, for sure. And I appreciate you saying all of that. And, you know, I suspect that this will probably come down to two things, and this may be a little bit of a stop and start, you know, reality here. So the one piece of feedback I did get from the governor, from Kelly, actually, who was in the meeting from the governor, is that the state is, like many other states, I suspect, struggling mightily right now, and they're in a big arm wrestling match in terms of trying to get the vaccine supply spigot opened up. There's just not enough coming in. Now, you know, the obvious question is, well, if we had an unlimited vaccine supply, are we scaled up with enough of these sites to actually get the throughput and so forth? And the answer is probably no right now, but still a little bit of kind of a chicken and the egg thing is, you know, do you build it first, sit on it, and then when the vaccines come, they come. So sort of managing and sort of titrating those things, I think will be an interesting challenge. I'm not entirely sure how that will go, but you know, the supply issue is certainly a top of mind issue for Governor Sununu. I know that. Well, I'll probably know a little bit more later tonight about where that ball really lies, and you know, we'll play through it as best we can.
Okay. And Chris, I just want to confirm that you know, we're in agreement that we really, you know, in order to make this work, we really do need to be able to stage people at Webster. There's no way we could host a bunch of vehicles on the airport. Is that correct?
That is correct, Farrell. That was one of the prime concerns we had with the traffic flow. So I forwarded to Brad the contact at Daniel Webster, and he said that he's reached out to them already. And Brad, so you know, we really do want to get this going. Any help you need, you can call me at any time, or Farrell, or whoever at the airport here.
Right.
And we appreciate your effort on this.
Yeah. Now, just two other quick things, just for the board. I think it's important that you guys all know this is, you know, we probably reached out to, you know, I think we reached out to Shane and Brian maybe the middle of last week, early the middle part of last week. So the fact that you guys got organized so quickly and were able to, you know, get two letters, one from the authority and one from Shane on behalf of the hangar and so forth, was incredibly, incredibly helpful. And actually your documents, your letters were part of the package that went to the governor this morning along with one other letter. We have a bunch, but we chose to put two in yours. And then a letter from Riviera University basically committing a ton of nursing staff. So very grateful for how quickly you guys turned this thing around and, you know, stepped up, and we thank you so much for that. Again, hard to predict how this thing unfolds from this point, but very appreciative of your work.
Well, Brett, you know what, that's far. Can we use your driveway or something?
That's right. You could stage everybody that big metal back there. That would be fine. So we'll keep you posted. You know, I, as I said, I think I'll know a little bit more. And you know, Chris, I'll reach out to you and Farrell and give you an update as soon as I know more. And we'll see where this takes us.
Okay. Well,
thank you, Brad.
Thank you, Brad. Any more questions for Brad? Okay, I'll take that as a no. Again, Brad, thank you for joining us. I appreciate your time.
And my pleasure.
A little more in about 7 minutes.
All right. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Take care.
You too now. Sarah, I'm going to thank you again for your indulgence and your patience. You know, you've been very kind. You know, please go ahead. You have the floor.
Great. Thank you. That seems like a pretty important topic you guys are discussing anyways. I'm going to share my screen real quick. All right. Can you see my screen?
Yes.
Okay, great. So my name is Sarah Marchant. I'm the Community Development Director for the city, and I know some of you, and for the others, it's very nice to meet you. Hopefully I can actually meet you in person sometime. but I wanted to take the opportunity tonight, thank you so much to Chris for making room on the agenda, to talk to you about the citywide master planning process that's going on right now. And I know you guys are more familiar with the idea of creating a master planning as the airport has a pretty awesome master plan. And so this is something that probably makes a little bit more sense to you than the average resident. But essentially we're in this process and I just wanted to go through it with you guys and just have a conversation, get some feedback. So I'm going to go through, this is kind of the agenda, and I'll go quickly because I think you guys already understand a lot about what master planning is. We started this process in the fall, and we just finished our second public meeting a couple weeks ago. And so now we're really talking about goals and vision. A master plan is a master plan for the city of Nashua, but it's really that long-range document that talks about the community's vision and goals, and it talks about high-level citizen-centered outcomes. The goal is to collaborate with as many people as we can, diverse stakeholders from all over the community. And the key thing here is that really is the basis backbone of the land use code and the land use code update that we plan to do on the other side of this. And please interrupt me at any point if you have questions. So the master plan by state law has to have a vision. And then it will go into kind of topic areas, getting a little bit more specific with goals and actions. We have these broad core values of equity, resilience, and climate protection that are going to be filtering throughout each of the topic areas. Here's a timeline showing what we're doing with this project. Again, it was started in the fall, and we just had our second public meeting. And in this period of time right now, between now in the spring, we're really going to dive a little bit deeper into the different topic areas and the goals and actions and talk to as many people as we can through Zoom meetings like these or other focus groups. And we do have a couple other meetings that will be coming up in March and April, too, for larger community meetings. But the goal is to have a basic plan by May. And what we're learning in COVID is that these conversations are not as easy over Zoom as they are sometimes in person. And so it is, we're hoping when we put out the draft that we might, when you put something on paper, people tend to have an easier time reacting to it and saying, I do like this or I really don't like that. And so we're building in a little bit of extra time to take more comments and feedback then and maybe have another iteration before we come out with a final for July, which will then go to the Board of Aldermen for full approval. So the goal here is we want to hear from you about what you think is important about Nashua now, what we want to keep and preserve, and what we should be doing better in the future. And there's a couple different ways you can leave your ideas and inspirations. What we've heard so far is quite a bit of engagement. We did some social media posts, which was very popular with some of our kids, about what they see for the future of Nashua. But we've also been working with a ton of small groups and companies and a lot of just general invites to people who go out about all kinds of updates and progress. And the key thing here is our imagine.nashuanh.gov website. So we had an initial survey, and we tried a new technology called Polis, and it was not as easy to use as we had hoped. But basically what it did is it allowed people to put statements in and then others could vote to approve or disapprove those statements. And what we really found is that there's a lot of consensus here in Nashua. The value statements are very strong and generally we have a lot of consensus around things together. We do have some groups that disagree on things, which is also important to know. But in many ways, we are as a community, we hold a lot of the same values dear, which is important to know. So things that were very much consensus statements was that we need to focus on quality jobs within the reach of most Nashua residents. And then things that were a bit more divisive were statements like, I'm concerned that development will change the feel of my community. And so a lot less people agreed in those kind of instances.
All right.
So some major themes that evolved from this. Here's the six topic areas. But, you know, we heard that development needs to be easily accessible. Parking, and especially in the downtown and in neighborhoods, is a huge topic of conversation. And we have a lot of great neighborhoods, but how do we connect them better? Housing, which we knew is a massive issue, affordable and quality housing for all ages, abilities, and incomes is really difficult in Nashua, and has only been exacerbated with COVID. And a lot of talk about redevelopment, which is really important. We are largely built out as far as, you know, basic space goes, but there's a lot of ways that we can use adaptive reuse and we can redevelop that has tremendous potential for our future. A lot of conversation around the jobs and trade skills and matching these kind of things going forward. And then our community really loves our open space, our parks, our trails, and what can we do better to point out what is already there. So those are some of the topics we've heard already and that we'll continue to talk about. So what we've done already is take a lot of that feedback and translate it into draft goal statements. And so here's an example of some of those draft goals. And the next step is going to be, as I said, we have these goals that we're going to talk to. We have a vision and goals that we're working through, and I'm going to show you some of them again tonight. And we're looking for people's feedback on those items. And essentially, this process gets more and more specific. So the original vision statement is here, that Nashua will be equitable, resilient, protect the climate as it promotes jobs and housing opportunities for residents. It reduces dependence on the automobile and encourages targeted density and regionally contextual development plans. What we heard is that people don't like this. They don't like the planner speak. They don't like the terminology that's used here, right? It is that the community wants to focus on all kinds of different kinds of mobility and not just on automobile. And we don't want the word automobile in there. And so we'll have some new visions coming from the download from the meeting the other day, but basically instead of regionally contextual development patterns, people are concerned and they love their neighborhoods and they want new development in their neighborhoods to match the form and feel that it is right now. And so making sure that that's reflective in that statement. We've also just finished an existing conditions report, which would be more of an environmental scan, right? What is Nashua today? What is the data and information out there? And so that that document is on our website and can be easily accessed from there. Mm-hmm. But what does Nashua look like compared to some of our neighboring communities? And how, for example, how are we growing? Our age structure is changing. We are getting older, but we're also getting younger. Our second largest growth in population is actually young professionals and first-time homebuyers. This is really important because both that age group and our old aging population are one in two family households. And actually, we've seen a massive growth in one in two family households, and that is just going to continue. So if we think about those two groups, number one, they're competing for the same type of housing, right? Downsizing from their large homes in the older groups, but also looking for something more in our core downtown area. And then our young professionals and first-time homebuyers are also looking for maybe a smaller product that they don't need a giant house for. So in the future, how do we really look at housing being built that isn't maybe 3,000 square foot houses, right? That has a lot of different types of things that can, that really support our community, allow people to age in place, and encourage the young professionals we need to work at all the jobs in this community. So those are some of the kind of things we're looking at and the data that's coming out of the existing commissions report. You can also see in this graph, I know it looks like a lot of bubbles, but the orange bubble shows these are different job sectors. And so the orange bubble is actually retail. And these are not high-paying jobs, but they're a huge cornerstone of our community and of the workforce we need here. And so how do we match some of those retail jobs, which are so essential to our community, to housing that is very expensive and outside of the affordability of somebody who works a 40-hour retail job? The big blue bubble is healthcare, right? That's a huge sector of our economy as well, as you were just talking about with the last guest. And there's a lot of potential for growth there and biomedical and new technologies associated with that. So these are big things that we need to look at and think about as we want to move forward in the next 5, 10 years or longer. There's kind of pictures of the report that's on the website. It is an easy to read document. And again, as we're moving forward now, we're going to be getting into more specific goals and then eventually into action items in the next couple months. So how can you give feedback? We'll talk a little bit after this presentation, which I'm trying to fly through to not have you go to sleep as it is late. And you've already been in this meeting for a long time. But we do have a new survey method up. It's a digital mapping survey. It's called Social Pinpoint. If you go to our website, it's super easy to use. You can add your own comments. You know, you press add comment and you move the screen around a little bit. It's that easy. And you add your comment into the onto the place. And some of you might be going on it right now. And in addition, you can see what all your neighbors have posted, and you can say if you like, thumbs up, or dislike what they have to say, you know, if you agree or disagree. And these comments are awesome because they're specific. A lot of things we're hearing from people is, you know, this traffic intersection is not safe. It don't feel safe walking here. There needs to be something done about this, right? So you can put a very specific pin in your neighborhood and talk about something that's good or something that maybe needs to be improved. And there's been a lot of comments on that already. So right now we're pulling all this kind of together and talking to groups like you. We will have some these meetings, and the next meeting coming up actually might be very much of interest to you. On March 2nd, we're going to have a topic meeting where you can come in and join breakout groups, two different ones for the night, and really talk about anything of those topic areas that is specific to you, land use, economic vitality, mobility. And so you can go into those areas and really give your opinions about specific topics if you have something that you're passionate about. And then April 6th, even more important probably to you guys, is we're going to be looking at some scenario planning. And that will specifically be an area plan for Daniel Webster College, kind of a we don't own it, and we don't have control, but what does the community want to see with that? Because we've heard a bunch of opinions, and what we're looking to do is kind of form some kind of a aspirational plan or goals associated with that project so that as it evolves in the future, we can look back and we can point people to that. We'll also be looking at the Amherst Street and DW corridors for traffic kind of scenario planning and what those could be and their great potential to be something a little bit better and different than they are now. So that will be at the April 6th workshop. So with that, I will stop sharing my screen and see if we can just have a conversation or if I can answer any questions.
Sarah, just real quick, how can we help with this process? Yeah, I'm really happy that you're here because, frankly, I'm always concerned that the city kind of doesn't know we're here yet. You know, we're one of the largest pieces of property in the city, and yet sometimes I don't feel that we get the proper recognition for what goes on here. So the fact that you're here and that you're soliciting us is a great idea, and, you know, we'd love to help with this process. Maybe we might need some guidance as to exactly, you know, what you may look for from us, you know, aside from going into the website and doing some of the inputs that a lot of other people are doing. I mean, as a board, yeah. an airport entity, you know, we feel that we're a gem for the city. And, you know, how can we, number one, promote ourselves more and also help you with what you're trying to accomplish?
That's a great question, David. You guys are a gem of the city and an economic driver. I think that's really important. So I think there's a couple ways you can be involved more. Certainly participate in the meetings that are coming up, and certainly please encourage your friends and your neighbors to go onto the website and submit their ideas. We also take comments through the website, and there's meetings like these. I'm happy to show up and talk to people about your comments and ideas, and everything we hear and talk about tonight, I'm going to load into our notes. That comes into the background and is all pulled together in this master plan document. I also think that if you as a board or committee or the airport, if, you know, we do have a copy of your master plan, and that will be furnished to the consultants who are working with us and helping us develop this so everybody knows about it. But if you guys have specific ideas, concerns, recommendations, you know, you can transmit those to us however you want. And if there's other people you'd like me to come talk to, if you want to set up, because it's already getting later, and you guys have been on this call for a while, but if you want to set up another meeting where we can just dive into topics such as mobility or land use or, like, what's important to the airport and Amherst Street and DWC as you guys see it around you, I'm more than happy to do something like that, too. This doesn't have to be a one and done at all.
Okay. So is there anything that you can think of that's specific to us, other than our, again, our general comments, that we can become a, you know, a player in this thing, if you will, to help this process along?
Honestly, if you can share with the people who are part of the National Airport, that share with your clients, share with your community, that this is going on and that we want their ideas and their comments and their concerns, I think that would be incredibly valuable. Because the more people we have who know about this and who participate, the better off this plan is going to be.
Okay, so basically, spread the word.
Yes, please.
Thanks.
Thank you for your presentation. I have a quick question for you. How does this master plan flow throughout the changing administrations? Like, is this something that has continuity, or does it tend to, I guess, get sort of reinstated or redone as maybe a new executive comes in?
Yeah, that's a great question. This does tend to flow. The last one was done 20 years ago, and as I mentioned briefly, you know, at the end of doing this master plan, we are going to update the land use code, right? So that is the code that says basically how we develop as a city. It governs public and private land use and how that works. And so by adopting to put the vision and goals in place that are adopted by the community, and that process stays in place for quite a while. After the last master plan, we updated the land use code to reflect those goals and vision. And so that is largely what you've seen in the last 20 years. And a lot of that's good. Some of it has not been as good as we hoped for by any means. So those are some of the things we'll be updating and changing. It is essentially the land use code is law, right? So it does sustain through changing administrations. But certainly the plan itself is shaped within the administrations it's developed in. But it's a community document, and the more people who participate and give us their ideas, you will not be ignored. And it makes it a better document that way.
Yeah, there's momentum. Thank you. I appreciate it.
Yeah.
Sarah, as the airport authority, we have a constant contact list. So anything you'd like to share, if you would like to give me some files, we can share with a lot of people, well over 1,000 contacts.
That would be wonderful. Thank you. I will share some ads with you, and then maybe ads for the March meeting and ads for the April meeting as they're developed. If you can kind of push those out, that would be
absolutely
wonderful.
Yep.
Thank you.
Hey, does anybody else have questions or comments for Sarah this evening?
Nope.
Okay.
Thank you for working this, Sarah.
Thank you all very much. It was nice to see you.
Thank you very much for your time. And again, thank you for your patience. Really appreciate it.
No problem. Good night.
Good night. So let's see. That brings us, that's the end of new business. Brings us to upcoming events. I think Chris outlined a future event, during his report. And, with that, I'll take public input as we, kind of come to a close here. No comments from the public on any item of concern.
Errol, can I jump in?
Yes, Shane, please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you. First, I'd like to say to Chris, our manager, and Farrell, chairman, all of our directors, it's been a long year for us. I think many of us didn't feel we'd be where we are today in the same condition we are at the airport. I think in no small part, it's been due to the leadership that each and every one of you has manifested and contributed as in your public service. It's a volunteer position. I know, Chris, you're working as our manager. You've done an outstanding job. The seamlessness with which the whole airport community has been able to work, I think, ought to serve as an ideal and a model for every other airport in this country. And I'd just like to personally thank you all for all you've done. And you're an outstanding outfit to work with. That is exemplified, I think, in no small part by the unsolicited comments, certainly not from me, that were just provided by Brad Creek in regard to the Airport Authority's willingness to participate and cooperate and step up to the plate at this very historic moment in our history, certainly the history of Nashua and the history of our state, and not the least of which the history of our airport, in terms of supporting this vaccination plan for deployment, if it can be made to work at the airport. Farrell, I'd like to compliment you to the rest of the board, and Chris, your letter was outstanding in terms of it couldn't have been better said to the governor on this project. You highlighted all the important points. I didn't feel it was anything I needed to add to Mr. Creek's comments earlier tonight, so I didn't say anything, or to yours, Farrell, in terms of the needs of the airport. I want you all to know that on this COVID plan, that if it can be made to work, that we are just as sensitive as each and every one of you to the needs of the airport, first and foremost. But if it can be made to work, I think it would be something that the airport can stand on equal footing with so many other folks who are trying to contribute to this extraordinary situation we find ourselves in. So I'd just like to add a note of thanks to all of you for everything you've done for us. You're really doing a fine job. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Shane. That's very kind. Actually, that you jogged my memory a little bit. Chris, the letter I sent, or the letter I sent to Brad, who then presented that to the governor, can we put that up on the website, under the management page, maybe? Just
sure.
So people can see it. Okay.
I will have Susan take care of that tomorrow.
Thank you. Appreciate that.
That's a great idea. So our community can learn how the airport authority, airport itself, and is participating in what was a national worldwide issue.
And Farrell, I should have added earlier, Shane McLaughlin, for the record. Farrell, you're welcome to, at your discretion, although my letter was not addressed to the authority, my companion letter was addressed to the governor. Farrell, you're welcome at your discretion to include that on the website if you wish.
Okay, thank you for that.
And I will say for the record that we haven't discussed it, but we're volunteering use of the building. I say volunteering. We're offering it to the state at no charge to the state for the process.
That's very generous. Thank you. Any other public input? Okay. Going once, going twice. Okay, so that brings us to director's comments as we kind of come to a close here. David?
Just a couple of comments. I just want to a little shout out to both Chris and yourself, Farrell, for the diligence on getting that grant application, and as well as Nick to his I guess for lack of a better word, diligence of getting the grant pushed through the DOT finally. Wasn't a small task. And then also I do want to just add additional comments to Shane and his brother Brian and the efforts to help, you know, keep this airport going and do what they can do to offer up, you know, hangar space for this COVID vaccination and other things. I think it's a great great gesture, or not even a gesture, it's a great action to keep this airport as a major player in what goes on in the state. So it doesn't hurt.
Okay, thank you, Dave. Jess?
Sure. I'd just like to say thanks to the board for my first year serving on the Airport Authority, and everybody's been superb to work with, and I've really enjoyed it, so I'm looking forward to this next year in my new role as secretary. And kudos again to Chris and Susan and the entire rest of the board, and, of course, to the whole community. It's just a pleasure to be on the board. It's a pleasure to work with everyone. So thank you.
Well, thank you, Jess. We're thrilled to have you on the board. You know, really pleased with that. And, you know, Brian, you're up.
So I would say Sarah presented that report to the Rotary Club as well and had a little bit more time. And then I followed up with her as it relates to our spaces as well. And one of the things in both of those conversations that came out was I really would encourage folks who are on this meeting tonight to go to that pinning page that she talked about and to pin on the airport and talk about how important the airport is to them and ways that you think it's important for the city for its master plan, and then to like other people's comments that are put on there as well. It's just one of those things that feeds upon itself. So go ahead and take a look at that, and then I think it will help to make sure that what they come up with is, you know, includes comments and thoughts that this group has. So thank you.
Hey, thank you, Brian. Joe, you're up.
Not too much. Just again, just continually echoing the sentiments of, you know, all the staff we have at the airport and the things we've been able to accomplish here recently, and the grant and all this other good stuff. So hope everybody stays well and continues to endure here as we get to some point better days. Just a quick little note, just for my tagline of in the rear with the year for another year. My term is actually up this year. So if you folks want to start sending me nasty grams as to why I potentially should not consider extending to another term, you can start sending them now. There's only plenty of time to read in the winter time. So,
are you saying that you might bail on us?
I'm saying I might bail. I'm just saying I'm just giving you all ample opportunity to vent your frustrations or concerns, or just want to send me a nasty note. We've got several months to do it, so just putting it out there. Har har.
No chance.
Yeah, thank you, Joe. I don't think you'll be getting many nasty grams.
Okay. Well, I can't say I didn't ask.
Sure. So
everybody. Have a good one.
Thank you. So I want to thank my fellow directors, for their service. And, you know, again, Jessica, thank you for joining the board. And thank you for stepping up to be secretary. You know, appreciate that. And, you know, it's been a pleasure to work with you all, and I'll look forward to another year as the chairman. And, Nick, I'll give you a shout out for helping to push through that grant. You know, the offer that finally came through. All I had to do was sign it. You know, it's like, I think you were doing a lot of the heavy lifting. So thank you. Appreciate it. Okay.
You're welcome. Sorry. I had to unmute.
He's taking diligent notes.
With that, I think, you know, director's comments are done. So, you know, I will make a motion to adjourn to non-public session pursuant to RSA 91A:3-2A, the dismissal, promotion, or compensation of any public employee.
Oh, I'd make a motion, or did you?
Well, I just made a motion. I need a second.
Second. We'll second that, Farrell.
Okay, thank you. Any discussion?
Let's get it done.
I'm sorry?
Get her done.
Yes.
Okay. In that case, we are going to adjourn to non-public session at this time. Thank you, everybody, for joining us tonight. You know, obviously, Chris and the directors will stay, or Chris and Susan and the directors will stay on. And I wish everybody else a good evening.
Thank you very much,
everybody.
Good evening, everyone.
Good night, everyone.
See you guys.
Take care.
See everybody.
Yeah, good to-